We're talking about unattainable rules. Unattainable rules of the kingdom. And Jesus is teaching these rules because the people around him, the Pharisees, those ones that thought they were better than everybody, that prayed to God and thanked God that they weren't born a Gentile, and thank God they weren't born a woman, and thank God they weren't sinners, but they were sinners. And Jesus is telling them that they are not meeting the ethics of the true kingdom of God. 5 and verse 27, now he has told them that hate in their hearts, that they have hate him. They hate him, he's their brother, but they hate him, and they're going to demand his death. And he told them that because of this hate, you shall attain hellfire. Gehenna. Akusate hote erete u moi keisis. You have heard in every synagogue, you have heard it was said, not you shall keep on committing adultery. That's what it said in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 43. Now this is quoted from the Septuagint and not the Hebrew. Not you shall commit adultery. The Hebrew says, not you shall keep on committing adultery, because they were adulterers. And yet, in the adulterous land where they had come from, Egypt, when God took them out of that land, they brought to adultery, their hate, and their murder with them. And in the Hebrew it says, you shall not keep on committing adultery. By the way, the little noise you hear in the background, that's a well pump turning on and off. Verse number 28. He's talking about adultery. Now he's going to nail them. Now I want you to understand this, first of all, that the Mishnah and the Talmud had rules that God didn't have. A woman could not speak to his wife in public. It was considered immoral and indecent. When Jesus went down, was going through Samaria, and stopped there at Jacob's well, and that Samaritan woman came out to him, a woman of ill repute, a hussy, a unclean woman, so to speak. Jesus spoke to her. Now, that was rules enough to have him stoned, according to them. But Jesus didn't have any lust in his heart when he spoke to that woman. He had love in his heart because he knew she would be saved, and she would bring her whole village to him, and they would be saved. Now let's see what Jesus says to them. He said, you can't speak to your wife in public. It's immoral. Jesus is going to go even deeper and further than they can even imagine. From the far reaches of their imagination to what sin is. Ego de logo himen hote pas ho blepon. Yaneke prosto epithimese. Autain a day. Emoi ku asin. Autain en. Te cardia auton. But I say to you that every the one seeing. Look at this word seeing there. It's nominative singular masculine present participle active. It comes from blepo. And here it is a participle. The one constantly seeing a female. Toward to desire her. He looks at a woman and he desires her. To desire her. Already, a day, that's a little adverb there, a day, already he has committed adultery. Punctiliar action right then. And the word epithemia means to burn upon the mind. If that woman is causing you to burn upon the mind, if you're looking at her with lust and desire, already he has committed adultery with her. In te cardia, auto, in the heart of him, in the innermost intellect and feelings. And that's locative singular. In the innermost feelings. Now this word cardia means to quiver or to palpitate. The eye and the heart are the two things of them that broke the law of God. Their eyes and their hearts have broken. In the word, in the heart of him, it is said of all times, her beauty just stops your heart. That's what it's talking about here. The beauty that makes your heart just quiver or skip a beat. A beautiful woman that causes your heart to skip a beat. It causes you to lust after her. And by the way, that's about all that you see on television screens and movie screens anymore. He's talking to the Jews here. He's talking to those that thought they had attained righteousness. And he's showing them that they had not attained righteousness. Eide ho ophthalmos, su ho dexios, scandalize, si ex ele, auton kai bali apo tu, apo su, that is, sim ferre, gar si hine apo lete, hento melon, su kai me holon to soma su, blethe ace genena. Gehenna. Since, therefore, the eyes, Jesus said, now this is not a if here. Jesus told them, you people are lustful. He told them that. You're lusting. You are lusting. Since the eyes of you, the right one, it caused you to be stuck in a trap. The word scandalize there, but actually means a trip. A booby trap. To be ensnared and booby trapped. It means to set off the trap. I have a friend named Bruce that was in Vietnam. He was on a scouting trip. He had a sergeant behind him. And he was out there in Vietnam jungle, and he was going along, and he stepped on a scandalize, a booby trap. And that booby trap blew the bottom part of his foot and leg off, and it killed the sergeant behind him instantly, blew him to pieces. Death trap. Let's go back here and look at it as a booby trap, a death trap. And moreover, the eyes of you, the right, it causes you to fall into a death trap. You pluck it out. You pluck him out. You cast it from you. It is expedient. It means to bear together. It means it is better for you that it may perish. Your eye may perish. Now, the right eye is the eye that you shot with, because most of these people are right-handed. So the right eye is, for people right-hand or right-eye dominant, they will not be able to shoot a bow, not be able to protect themselves. They won't be able to hunt or anything if they pluck this eye out of your head. But it's better that you are defenseless. It's better, it's more expedient for you that it may perish. One of your members, the molon, belonging to you, and not the entire body of you, it may be thrown into Gehenna, hell fire. He's telling them this. They've all broken this rule. They're all guilty. These are unobtainable goals, ethics of the kingdom. They cannot do this. They cannot do this. They had made in the mission on the Talmud rules beyond what the Word of God says, but now Jesus is turning words upon them. Verse number 30. Kai e he dexia su ker scandalize si hecopton altain kai bale apu si simfere gar si hina apolete hen ton melon su kai me holon ton soma su ace gehina apelte. And since, absolutely, the right hand of you, it offends or causes stumble. What do you do with your right hand? You work with your right hand. But let's go back to the subject. He's talking about making love with his right hand. Loving his lover with his right hand. Making his living with his right hand, loving his lover with his right hand. This is the right hand. This is a hand of honor. Now, what does he say about that? He's talking to these Jews. And since the right hand of you, it offends. That's an absolute fact. Since it does. Causes you to stumble, causes you to go into the death trap, the booby trap. You cut it off. You cut her off. And you cast from you. It is necessary to bear together. It is more expedient for you in order that it may perish, your hand, your livelihood. One of the members of you, and not the entire, the soma, the body of you, unto hellfire it may be thrown. Here we go again. He's talking about the same subject. He's talking about fidelity, and he's talking about marriage, and he's talking about lust. He's talking about sexual urges. 20 or 31, erethe de hos on. Apolise tain geneka, auto doto autain apostasin. It was said, moreover, whoever he dismisses, divorces the wife of him. Let him give her the bill of divorce. Now, this divorce papers, this statement written by a scribe, by the way, all of them are involved in these sins. The written notice was a protection to the wife against anger of her husband, who might send her away with no paper to show that she was free. Now, this is legal, according to them, the Mishnah and the Talmud. This is what they do. But it's more than that. A man, many times Jews, they would marry a woman younger than they were. But even they would grow old, and they would want another wife. More beautiful, lusting in their hearts. So they would either marry her as a second wife, or if he was really a tightwad, he would divorce his first wife and say something that, she wasn't a good housekeeper, she was not obedient, she smelled, whatever. They could divorce her for almost any reason. But he would give her this wonderful piece of paper saying that she was divorced and free from her husband, and then she could go see if she could find somebody else to marry her. to take care of her. Because there were no Social Security, there was no food stamps. There was no WIC at this time. The husband would keep the children. The woman had no rights. Yet they thought they were perfectly righteous in doing this. This divorce paper was her women's rights. M.O. de lego himen. Hote pas ho apoleon. Tain geneke auton. Pror parectos. Lego pornias. Poye autain. Moi ke thene. Kai hos ion. Apolilimenein. Gamese moi kate. But, little weak adversative conjunctive particle there, day. But I say to you that all the ones dismissing the wives of him apart. Parectos, apart from, and it's logo here, it means a statement, a matter of statement, of fornication, unchasteness, unfaithfulness. He makes her to commit adultery. And whoever, having been divorced, dismissed, he may marry her, he commits adultery. These are hard rules, people. Hard rules. Basically, in the age we live in, is unattainable rules, but it was unattainable rules back then, too. Jesus spoke these words to incriminate those that he was talking with. But I say to you all that all the one loosing and dismissing the wife of him, apart from a matter, a statement. Now, you have to realize that the ancient Jewish people were a whole lot like the Muslim people today. It was a man's world. A man's world. And a man could, in the Islamic faith, you can say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And they're divorced. And he can take her back to marry and marry her again with her. If he's mad at her, he can say that and she's divorced from him. And she has no rights. He has the children, he has all the possessions, she has nothing. But then, if he gets to remembering how wonderful and sweet she was to him, he can marry her again. And then he can do it again. But if he can only do this so many times, then she has to marry somebody else and consummate the marriage in bed before he can marry her back again. Ridiculous rules. A Muslim man can have 5 or 4 free Muslim women, but all the concubines he can afford. Is that righteousness? No. We're paying for it here in America. You go into the Smart and Finals, you go into the places down where the big Muslim, and you'll see one man and all these women with food stamps. And one whole grocery bag will be full of milk because they got gobs of kids living off the state. One wife, but all these concubines and all these other wives. And we're raising all these children. But I say to you that all the ones loosing and dismissing the wives of him, or the wife of him, apart from a matter of fornication, he makes her commit adultery. And whoever, having been divorced, he may marry her, he commits adultery. Now let's go back and read this in the Amplified Bible. Unattainable rules. He's making them guilty. You are guilty. Verse number 27. You have heard that it was said that you shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20 and 14 and Deuteronomy 5, 18. In the Hebrew, now he's quoting the Septuagint. Because in the Hebrew it says you shall not keep on committing adultery. But they were not familiar with the Hebrew scriptures. So he's speaking to them in the common translation that they had there in the Septuagint. But I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with sexual desire for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, verse number 29. If your right eye serves as a death trap to ensnare you or is an occasion for you to stumble and sin, pluck it out and throw it away. Now remember, the right eye is in the right hand dominant and right eye dominant. This is your livelihood. It's more important that you starve to death than you commit this sin. It is better that you lose one of your members, melem, than that your whole body be cast into hellfire, the eternal hellfire. Now, what happened with Isaac in the Old Testament? Why did Isaac go blind? Because Isaac's heart was blind to God's promises. Isaac wanted to bless Esau and not Jacob, the promised son. No matter how bad Esau was, he loved him because he was a glutton for his food. So God blinded that man so that he would not bless the wrong man. And you know the story. He told old Esau, the playboy, you go out and get me some wild game like I like and cook it like I like, my gluttonous self. You bring it to me and I shall bless you, Esau. And I know it's supposed to be your blood or spreading, but I'm going to bless you. Rebecca heard that. And she grabs up Jacob. And God used that woman. God used that woman. Because that man was not worthy. God blinded him. Sometimes God has to use women. And he did. He used several women in the Old Testament. She said, go get a billy goat. A young billy goat. Go dress it and bring it to me, and I'll cook up your daddy's favorite food. You'll think it's wild game. And he said, I'll dress you up like old Harry, like old Esau. And he shall bless you because you're supposed to be the blessing. God revealed to me who was supposed to be, and I told my husband, but he didn't listen. So God had to blind Isaac to get the right man on the throne of Israel. It is better you lose one of your members than that your whole body be cast into hellfire. And if your right hand serves as a trap to ensnare you, as an occasion for you to stumble and sin. The right hand was the hand that you worked with. The right hand was the hand that you defended yourself with. It's better that you are defenseless and that are a beggar. And now look at the people who he was talking to. All of their written statements against Jesus, of the scribes, of the false statements and accusations against Jesus by the right hand of power of these priests and Levites and scribes and Pharisees. It's better that they chopped their hands off and throw it away from you. Cut it off and cast it away from you. It is better for you to lose one of your members than that your entire body should be cast into hellfire. If a priest was disfigured in any way, he couldn't be a priest. Even though he was of the family of Levi, he couldn't be a priest. Even though he was the sons of Aaron, if he had lost a finger, lost a hand, lost toes on his feet, was blind in one eye, was deaf. Any of those reasons, he could not minister as a priest. Jesus is laying some hard statements on these wicked people. They would never be able to serve again, but they were doing these wicked things with their hands, weren't they? And their minds and their hearts. Because he said, let's kill him. He's going to take our nation away from us. And we're doing real good. Man, we got it by the world by the tail. Let's don't let him take our nation away from us. Let's don't let him become that king on the throne. Let's kill him. Let's murder him. Let's crucify him. Let us swear false charges against him. It was said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever dismisses and repudiates, throws her away, and divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unfaithfulness, sexual immorality, fornication, prostitution, homosexuality. That's all in this word right here. You ever had a wife that was a prostitute? A wife that was a lesbian? A wife that ran around on you? That's grounds of divorce right there. That's grounds of divorce. That word porneria, that takes it all in. Sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries this woman who has been divorced commits adultery. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. Every sin they were committing, Jesus is throwing in their faces. Every sin. He kept saying to them, you are guilty. The verdict has fallen. You are guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. And he's not finished with them yet either. Father, we send this message out also to your children and to those that may become your children, those that may hear these words and cast their sins upon you, your son. Father, I pray for all those out there who hear these messages that go all over the world. I pray for those and families that have lost people. Some in lands that they're the only Christian in their family, the only Christian on their jobs. I pray for them. I pray that you hold them up. And Father, I pray for those out there that have spouses that are not saved, that you'll convict their hearts of sin, righteousness, and justice. Those out there that have children that aren't saved and grandchildren, wives and husbands, Father, I pray for all of those. I pray that you use them to draw them to you, and they hear your word, and that you trouble their hearts, that they will never go to sleep until they have asked you to save them and forgive them of their sins. Father, forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.